Welcome back to Targum Yonah, Son of the Parsha, with Daniel Eisenberg, Parsha Schukas. There's a lot of interesting comments of the Targum Yonah, Son, especially in analyzing the story of Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, but I just want to do a quick idea from earlier in the Parsha, Perek Yud Tes Posuk Tes, talking about the process, the procedure of the Parah Aduma, and it says, the Posuk V'asaf Ish Tahor Is Efer HaParah, that this is really basically at the end, so that a Tahor man shall gather the ashes of the Parah, V'yaniach Michutz and place it outside the camp in a tahor place, and it's going to be there guarded, and they have these ashes to work with. Now, if you take a look at Targum Yonah's son, he translates the ish tahor, the pure man, v'yichnosh gevar kahin, dechei. The Targum Yonah's son translates as a man who is a kohen who is pure. So the pasuk doesn't mention the person being involved here as the kohen. Most of the people involved in the Parah Aduma are Kohanim. Over here, the Pasuk mentions Ish Tahor, a pure man, doesn't specify whether he's a Kohen or not. Targum Yonah's son says it is indeed a Kohen. Now, what's a little bit puzzling about this is that it's explicitly against the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. It's also against the Midrash in Sifrei, which says that actually a Zar, a non-Kohen, can actually do this part. When it says Ish Tahor, it specifically means general ish, not a, specifically general, it means general ish, meaning not a kohen. So Targum Yonah's son is, you know, can argue, right, especially if, you know, depending on where we trace back Targum Yonah's son to, if it's Yonah's son ben Aziel Matana, as we mentioned in the first year, that's questionable, but it seems like another midrashic opinion that, no, it's not that it's even a non-kohen, this is specifically a kohen. Now, one way to resolve this is it could mean that Targum Yonah's son is not saying that the halachically has to be a kohen, but that most often it was a kohen, that people involved in the Parah Aduma, many of them have to be kohanim. This one doesn't have to be, but he often was a kohen, and it could be that's why Targum Yonah's son translates it as this, and it's not necessarily a machlokas, though the simple understanding would be that it is a machlokas, and you try to figure out what the reasoning might be, according to the Gemara and Yuma and the halachic midrash of Sifrei, so it would seem that, you know, it's not a, maybe not part of, considered part of the avoda in particular, but just to try to understand Targum Yonah's son, why would Targum Yonah's son say it should be a kohen? So I think that we can actually get an understanding from the Chizkuni on the matter, that many mefarshim hold like the Gemara and the Midrash in Sifrei. However, Chizkuni does not. Chizkuni also understands it like Targum Yonah's son to be a kohen. Chizkuni is one of the Rishonim, and he understands it to be that it's referring to specifically kohen. And Chizkuni says more, that this phrase comes to teach that we shouldn't think that we might as well have this part be done by a kohen who is already tamei, but rather we should indeed have a tahar kohen become tamei as well. Meaning, you might think that since the person over here, the one who gathers the ashes of the parah, he will become tame. So better to use a tame person for this and not use a kohen who is pure. Meaning that's why it says ish tahor, right? It's not according to Chizkuni, presumably Targum Yonah's son. The pasuk doesn't say ish tahor to exclude it, specifying a kohen. Say ish, meaning not even a kohen, just an ish. But no. The emphasis is that it should be a tahor man, because you might think that we shouldn't be metame someone who's tahor for this. Rather, use a kohen who's already tame, so he doesn't become tame further. But that's not the case. Rather, the Torah is specifying ish tahor. Of course, it's talking about a kohen, says Chizkuni and Targum Yonah's son. Of course, it's talking about a kohen, but it's saying that he should specifically be someone pure, not what you might think, that you should get somebody who's impure. Now, an important point to derive from this is that we see that there is no cutting corners when it comes to the Parah Aduma. That, you know, there's the famous paradox, or rather the paradox, that the people involved in the Parah Aduma, right, the ones who have the avoda done for them, they're impure and they become pure. And the people who are involved in the avoda, the kohanim and this ish tahor, they start off pure and they become impure. And you know, you might say, you know, it's such a negative thing that the Kohanim become impure to be purify others. But this really is the avoda, and this is a big avoda in general of the importance of the role of Kohanim and people to sometimes have to impurify them, to contaminate themselves and to become impure to help purify others. Of course, you have to apply that with the proper balance and hadracha and das Torah. But that there's sometimes a time and place to lower yourself to help lift others up, and we don't cut any corners over here. We have the Kohanim, and you might say, "Oh, well, this step, we should use somebody who's already tameh." But no, the Torah tells us ish tahor. Okay, of course, it's talking about a kohen, but it's even the ish tahor, someone who's pure, we will make him impure in order for the paraduma procedure to be done properly. And this is an important lesson in general when it comes to paraduma, but it's highlighted even more based on this Targum Yonasan, especially as we understand it through the comments of the Chizkuni.